Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my fifth week and my last week of teaching on knowing God. And I have really enjoyed this series. I believe that this is really just the bottom line to Christianity. It's not about how to get things from God. It's not about how to, you know, do all of the things that are often emphasized, which in their place, all of those things are good. But the entire Christian life really springs out of just knowing God. In this series, I've already taught that that really is what eternal life is all about. It's not just living forever, but it's a quality of life here in this world where we are in relationship with God. And it's amazing to me how many Christians do not really know God or have a viable working relationship. They constantly have to run to somebody else to hear from God, to receive prayer. They just don't have a working relationship. So that's what we've been teaching on. And like I said, this is the beginning of my fifth week of teaching. And I believe that this has really been a great teaching. Let me just quickly say that I've got a brand new teaching album out on this. I've got not only a CD album, but a DVD album. And then we've got a live as seen on TV album about this also. And today will be our last, this week will be our last week to offer these materials. So please take advantage of them. Today, let me turn back to Philippians chapter 3. And these are the verses that I used when I started this teaching. And I talked about the Apostle Paul, who was such an accomplished man and had obtained all of these things. He had what we would call the equivalent of doctor degrees in theology. He was one of the most rising, promising stars in the Jewish religion. And yet he encountered the Lord. And he said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." This is the very first scripture that I use in this series about knowing God. And Paul, who had all of these wonderful accomplishments in the natural realm, most people would have envied him and have just thought that, man, how could you get any better? Here is this man who had all of these natural, physical accomplishments saying that he counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And that is a powerful statement, and that's really the foundation that we brought this whole teaching about. Let me go on and just read. He goes on to say in this same verse, he says, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." What a radical statement. What a great point of view, and how rare this is to people today. People today brag about all of their great accomplishments. We've already talked about that verse. Let me go on into verse 9. And after he had talked about how that knowing Christ was the goal of his life and everything else in comparison is like dung, it's like manure compared to this one thing of knowing God. He says this in verse 9, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." And so, like I said, I've already been spending an entire month teaching on knowing God, and we've laid a lot of the foundation. What I want to do this week is just take these verses and use my own personal testimony of my walk with the Lord and some things that God has shown me, and I'm just going to be touching on what I consider to be some of the major points that you are going to have to learn from the Word of God to really establish a positive relationship with God. Now, this is based on this scripture. Paul was saying the same thing, but a lot of this is also based on my own personal experience, and I'll be sharing this and teaching some of these same things. So here is what happened to me. I was born again when I was 8 years old, but it was when I was 18 years old that I had this miraculous encounter with the Lord on March the 23rd, 1968, and that's where my real spiritual walk with the Lord began. That's when I began to know God, have an understanding of God. And things begin to be revealed to me, and I mean my life just begins to transform. The very first thing that happened, and I could literally spend a week or two teaching on this, I have in the past. I'm going to condense this into one program today, and I'm just going to highlight this, and then tomorrow I'm going to go on to the next thing. So this is a very condensed explanation of this, and I am going to be offering an additional resource today to our normal teaching if you have a desire to know more about this. But according to my own experience, before I really began to understand God's love for me and begin to start walking with the Lord, the first thing that had to happen was what the Apostle Paul here referred to when he says, "Not and be found in him, not having my own righteousness." I personally believe that before we can begin to understand our right standing with God and begin to start understanding how much He loves us and how His power is available to us and how He'll flow through us, before you can come to that place, you have to come to the end of yourself. You have to basically get rid of this self-righteousness. And this is exactly my testimony. Like I said, I was born again when I was 8 years old, and I was genuinely converted. I mean, it made a difference. The next day in my third grade class, my classmates asked me, "What happened to you?" They could tell something was different. There was a change. And one day after I was born again, my classmates started making fun of me and talking about me becoming a Christian. It was evident. So there was a genuine change, but there was very little understanding. Of course, 8 years old, for one thing, I wasn't thinking the way that I am today. I mean, when you're 8 years old, you know, playing outside is a major deal, amen, and you know, what you're going to eat, and you're just, you think differently, your priorities are different. So part of it was my age, but also I wasn't taught the things of God. And so from the time I was 8 until I was 18, I was basically taught that God loved us and moved in our life proportional to our goodness, and that you had to live holy enough to earn the favor of God. I'm sure that there are people watching this program all around the world that are saying, "Well, what's wrong with that?" Because that is probably the dominant thing that's being taught. It's not always said in those words, but most of you understand exactly what I'm talking about, that you believe that you have to earn God's favor, and that's exactly where I was. Now, some people, that drives them away from God because they know that they can't do it, and they just despair of even trying, and so they just go out and live a substandard Christian life thinking it's impossible for me to ever do this. Well, I was under the deception that I actually could earn God's favor, and I mean, I tried harder than most. I lived a super holy life compared to other people, and I was really proud of my holiness. I looked down my nose at people that weren't as religious as I was, that weren't as committed. I mean, I always won every award that there was for my daily Bible readings. I could quote more scripture. I always went to church. I wouldn't associate with people who were out doing ungodly things. I broke off friendships. I mean, I was living a life that, to the best of my knowledge, was committed to God, but I got to trusting in my own righteousness. And you know, this parallels the Apostle Paul perfectly. This is what he was saying, that he had profited in the Jews' religion among many of his equals. But he came to this place where he realized that everything he had accomplished was like dung compared to just knowing God by faith. And he expounds on that in this ninth verse, and he says, "Be found in him, not having my own righteousness." As long as you are thinking that you are somehow or another earning God's favor in your life, then you will never really experience faith righteousness. Here's different terminology. As long as you are trying for works righteousness, a righteousness that is based on your action, then you will never understand faith righteousness. They are opposites. They're on the opposite end of a pole. You cannot maintain faith righteousness and works righteousness. And I think that this is where a lot of people today are really missing knowing God, is that they are thinking, yes, I have to have some right standing with God, righteousness that comes through faith because they aren't perfect. But as much as you can, you need to mix a works righteousness, a righteousness that is based on how holy you are. And so they try and mix the two. And yet, let me use this verse out of Romans chapter 11 and in verse 6. It just basically puts this is Old English, and so it's a little awkward, but the point that's being made here is powerful. It says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work." Like I said, that's Old English, and may be a little confusing, but basically what it's saying is you're either justified in the sight of God by grace, that's what God does for you, independent of you, has nothing to do with you, or you're justified by works, but you can't be justified by a combination of the two. And this is basically where the religious world stands today. They realize that none of us are able to approach God completely on our own, and so they preach that you need a Savior, Jesus. But then, as soon as you get born again, now you've got to start being holy, and you got to live right, and you got to do this, and read the Bible, and pray, and if you don't do these things, God won't move in your life. You know, the whole book of Galatians in the Bible was written by the Apostle Paul to counter this doctrine, and he's kind of summed it up in the third chapter by saying, "You foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should believe a lie?" He says, "Are you so stupid?" That's literally what it means in the Greek. "Have you begun in the Spirit and now you're going to be made perfect by the flesh?" Or in other words, you could say it this way, modern English, "Have you begun by coming and putting faith in Jesus and you trust Him for your salvation? But are you so deceived, so stupid that you think you are now going to earn God's favor by all of the things that you do?" And I would say, yes, that's where the majority of the body of Christ is. They have mixed a works righteousness with a faith righteousness, and yet they are mutually exclusive. Again, this verse in Romans 11, 6, you're either saved by grace, that's a faith righteousness, or you're saved by works, that's a works righteousness, but you aren't saved by a combination of the two, it's one or the other. And of course, the context of that completely disproves the fact that you could ever be saved and relate to God based completely on your actions. And so, the Apostle Paul, the very first thing that he said is he came to the end of himself. He came to the end. Even though he had more accomplishments than the average person, he came to the end of himself. And you know, this is my testimony. Like I said, I was born again, 8. I started living this holy life, relatively holy compared to other people. It caused me to have spiritual pride. I became a religious Pharisee. But then on March the 23rd, 1968, I don't know how to describe this. I don't have the words to describe it. I don't completely understand everything that happened. But in a moment's time, it's like God just pulled back a veil that had blinded me and kept me from seeing things properly. And in a moment's time, I realized that I was a religious hypocrite. Not because I was professing one thing and living another. I mean, I was living a very strict, holy life, but compared to God's standard of perfection, I was infinitely short. And it just dawned on me. I don't even have the words to completely communicate this. But in a moment's time, I realized that the standard of holiness that God demanded was unobtainable by any physical human being. And I believe I had done as good as most people. And I'm not saying that in a proud way. I'm actually criticizing myself and showing you the error of my ways. But I'm saying that I was living a holy life compared relative to people. I have never said a word of profanity in my life. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I have never tasted coffee, and some of you have heard me say this before. I'm not saying that you can't drink coffee because you got scripture to stand on for drinking coffee, Mark 16 says you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. I'm just saying, you talk about living a separated, holy life. I didn't drink coffee. I didn't smoke. I didn't dip or cuss or chew or go with those that do. I lived a super holy life, and I thought that that gave me an edge up on most people and made me closer to God. And in just a moment's time like that, God revealed to me that even though I might be one of the best sinners around, all of sin comes short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? And he showed me that I was totally wrong in trusting in my own righteousness, in my own goodness, and believing that God was going to accept me based on my own standard of performance. And he showed me this, and I mean in just a moment's period of time, I turned from this Pharisee that was smug about my righteousness and looking down my nose at other people to a person that realized that, man, I was a sinner, that I could, you know, again, who won't, you know, I might be a better sinner than somebody else, but all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And I repented, and the very first thing that happened in my life that caused me to really know God was I completely, and I don't have strong enough words to convey this, but I completely abandoned any hope that I could ever earn God's favor. I knew, and people that criticize me and say, well, you're just encouraging people to live in sin, and you're saying that God loves them by grace, and you aren't wanting to live a holy life. Well, first of all, I live a holier life than most of my critics who are criticizing me. Secondly, when I got this revelation, it didn't inspire me to not seek God or to go out and live unholy. But what it did, it just revealed to me. I saw the true holiness of God as being infinitely holier, purer than what any man could produce. And that's, I believe, exactly what Paul is referring to, that all of his goodness, he wasn't talking about his terrible sins. He was talking about all the good things he had done. He counted them but dung. And compared to what God created us to be, totally pure, totally holy, all of us have sinned tremendously and come short of the glory of God. And people that are sitting there promoting that, I believe you've got to be holy, and I am living holy, and therefore God is moving in my life and answering prayers because I deserve it. A person who says that is only looking at their holiness relative to other people. If you ever see the true holiness of God, if you ever have the veil removed, and if you ever see God for who He really is and His true standard of holiness and what He intended man to be, I guarantee you the very first thing that's going to happen to you, that happened to Paul, that happened to me, is that you are going to lose all confidence in your flesh. You are going to get rid of this works righteousness to where you think that somehow or another you are earning God's blessing and favor in your life. A person who maintains those things, which is the vast majority of Christianity today, is preaching be holy so that God can bless you. The majority of people who are preaching that today have not truly seen the holiness and purity of Jesus, or they would recognize that it is so infinitely above our ability to obtain that the only way we could ever be right with God is to receive it as a gift, not think that you could somehow or another earn it. You can't earn it. And so what happened to me, I completely turned away from my self-reliance, my self-centeredness. Before that time, everything was about what I could do. And I threw myself on the mercy of God. And I honestly expected that when I saw how ungodly I was, and again, relative to people, I was living a very godly life, but relative to what God's standard was, man, I was in bad shape. Now, I was already born again. I'd already trusted Jesus for my salvation, but as far as maintaining my relationship with God, it was all based on how good I was. And when I got this revelation, I immediately repented, turned myself inside out, repented of thoughts and attitudes and things that I didn't even know existed in me until just, you know, when that revelation came. And I literally, for a lack of a better word, died to myself. I literally turned and I abhorred myself, my natural self, my accomplishments. And I thought that God was going to kill me. I thought that when I saw how evil I was, that that was the first time God had seen it. Of course, now I understand that He had known it all along and He had been operating in mercy towards me. But He finally just got fed up with my self-righteousness, gave me a revelation that relative to His perfect standard, I was a mess. And I was in dire need of grace. And I repented of it, and to my surprise, instead of God killing me, God poured mercy and grace. And for 4.5 months, I was just caught up in how much God loved me. And I, for the first time in my life, I understood that that love had nothing to do with me and my goodness. It had everything to do with His goodness. God loved me because He is love, not because I'm lovely. And I came to the end of myself. And so, I'm bringing this out to say that I've already taught how that, you know, knowing God is the most important thing. This is the goal of salvation. We know God through the Word, through the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm talking about some definite things that you need to learn before you can really have a relationship with God. And one of them is, you've got to get off the throne of your life. You've got to quit worshiping yourself, putting faith in yourself and in your goodness, and thinking that somehow or another God owes you something because you have done all of these wonderful things. You have got to deny yourself and put God on the throne of your life. That is an automatic first step. You cannot truly worship God and put Him first and at the same time have confidence in yourself. I'm talking about your natural self. You can have confidence in who you are in Christ, your born-again self. But you've got to come to the end of yourself before you really begin to know God. I don't know if I've totally made that clear, but I tell you, this is something that has changed my life. And again today, I'm going to move on to the next step. And this week, I'm just going to talk about 4 or 5 major things that you must know and you must get revelation of before you can really come to know God. And the first thing I've talked about today is that you just got to come to the end of yourself. You got to understand that it is not your goodness that you can approach unto God. And so, by no means fully stated this, but what I'm going to do is offer you a resource in addition to all of the other teachings that we're giving. I've got this new series out on Knowing God in CD and DVD. But in addition to that, I have this little booklet entitled Self-Centeredness, the Root of All Grief. And I tell you, this is a life-changing teaching, and I've just barely scratched the surface on it. So I really encourage you, if the things I've said today seem to be different than your experience or radically different, you need this teaching. And this little booklet is a life-changing teaching. It will radically make a difference. So please.